Adventure.
Tonight's story, The Trail of the Dead by Ron Evans, takes us into a remote corner of the Kalahari Desert.
There. If you look closely on Grandfather's map, you'll see it. Mm-hmm. There were three of them on the expedition. Anderson and Linton died on the way back out of the desert. Now, you see the shaded part?
Yeah.
It's a sandstone cliff which they called Anderson's Wall, presumably because it looks like one.
Yeah, and these three crosses?
Oh, pinnacles of rock cut by centuries of sandstorms and the like. Grandfather called them Linton's Needles.
Well, it's not going to be easy to reach there, Miss Braithwaite.
Well, in 1911 they used mules.
We could use a four-wheel drive, but the problem would be fuel and water.
And a helicopter or a light plane?
Expensive. And it would mean bringing more people into it. They'll get curious, and then your secret will be a secret no more.
Yes, which is what I want to avoid.
I presume I'm the only person you've approached as yet.
Well, I was told you were the best desert guide in the territory.
By whom?
Yourself.
I beg your pardon.
I read your book. It's obvious who I should see.
Okay. Yeah, I do know the desert rather better than most. So, what do you think?
Perhaps we could use two vehicles.
Yeah, could be arranged. That way we can carry more fuel and water. Well, all you have to do is tell me what you're hoping to find there.
I'll keep that to myself for a while longer. And all I'll say now is that it's already cost the lives of many men. Hundreds, in fact.
Myrtle, look. I just bought that hi-fi in the advert.
What advert?
You know, the sounds as good as it looks one.
Oh, looks lovely.
If advertisers' promises prove unsound, you can set their record straight.
Well, it looks good.
Report misleading advertising to the Advertising Standards Authority at P.O. Box 10537, Johannesburg 2000, and help us keep advertising honest.
For the life of me, I couldn't even begin to imagine what Lena Braithwaite was expecting to find in one of the remotest areas of the Kalahari Desert. All she told me was that something was buried near the place marked on her grandfather's rough map as Linton's Needles. To me, it seemed like something of a wild goose chase, because if her map was correct, it was a miracle if anyone had reached there as long ago as 1911. Mind you, I was excited at the prospect of taking the young woman out into the sandy wilderness on a mystery treasure hunt because, to me, it spelled adventure. So, early one morning several years ago, Lena Braithwaite and I set out on a long journey, driving a vehicle each. I led the way, and we communicated by means of a CB radio.
Are we still passing through an area familiar to you?
Yeah, I know it like my own backyard.
The sand and the rocks, they all look the same to me.
I know almost every rock by name.
Oh, we've been traveling a day and a half now, Alan. When do you think we'll get there?
Oh, about noon tomorrow. But a lot depends on the condition of the ground we have to cover.
I can tell you more about my grandfather when we take a break for lunch. I think that...
What? What's happened?
I hit a rock with the off-front wheel.
All right, I'm coming back.
Oh, no, no, it's no good. It looks like the axle is bent.
Oh, what a damn nuisance. Does that mean we have to go back?
Well, Lena, the answer to that depends on you.
Well, I like your opinion.
Well, we can go in my vehicle, topping up our fuel and water from here. On the return trip, we can top up again.
All right. So we'll go on.
On the other hand, I think this vehicle will have to be written off. There's no way we can get it back to town. And I know what you're going to say, but what I'm getting at is this. If something should go wrong with the four-wheeler, then we're in trouble. It'll mean walking out, if that's at all possible.
You're the expert.
Yeah, but now I want to ask you this. Do you think what you're looking for is worth risking your life for?
Yes, Alan. I've saved every penny for 5 years to find it. I won't give up so easily.
Okay, then. So we go on. But first, let me transfer some of the water and fuel.
These here are my grandfather's notes, which were enclosed with the map.
Ah, but the notes were written more than 70 years ago. The desert is ever changing. This makes me wonder about this cache you're looking for.
It could be under 1,000,000 tons of sand by now.
Yes, or lying exposed on the surface.
Ah, that too. Yeah, another problem you'll have is in pinpointing the exact spot.
Ah, but that's one of the last of my secrets. One that I'm keeping until the last moment.
All right. Tell me about the map, Lena.
My father died while Granddad was alive, so the map and notes were given to my brother. I don't think Frank took it very seriously. After Granddad passed on, he just stuck it away in a drawer.
Mm-hmm.
Then Frank was killed in an air crash 5 years ago. One evening, I was going through his things, and the map and notes intrigued me so much that I became determined to follow them up someday. And here I am.
One important question. Why didn't your grandfather follow it up himself?
Soon after he returned to England in 1912, he became a victim of what now called poliomyelitis.
I see.
It left him a permanent cripple.
And now for the big one. What was it he found?
Fasten your seatbelt. Would you believe Lobengula's treasure hoard?
What? Are you serious? No, I wouldn't believe it. That's an old, old story, and I, for one, don't believe it ever existed. And even if it did, there's no way it could be out in the middle of the Kalahari.
Granddad was no fool. You can laugh, but he was a young man when the Matabele King was deposed. He was there when it all happened.
Ah, so were many others. All right, it was common knowledge that Lobengula had a great hoard of uncut diamonds and English sovereigns, and these were never accounted for. But I tend to believe that some of the men who took Matabele land found it and shared it out amongst themselves. And if they didn't, and the hoard was hidden somewhere, well, the obvious place would be in the Matopas Hills.
Yes, the obvious place. But who's fool enough to hide their valuables in an obvious place?
Oh, I take your point. Yeah, but the Kalahari is something else, man. The place we're heading for is too remote, too hostile.
In other words, the ideal hiding place.
All right. I'll go along with the fairy story.
It's what I'm paying you for.
Yeah, of course. But I'm entitled to hear my views.
So let me get this straight, then. My grandfather actually saw the treasure. It was dug up, viewed, and returned to its hiding place.
Well, I'm in no position to dispute that, but it sounds awfully far-fetched. I've lived most of my life on the edge of the Kalahari. I just can't see how it was possible.
I know how it was done. I'll explain later. Inter, if you don't object, close my eyes. Try to take a nap.
No objection at all.
It's gone cold.
Yeah. I think if we get an early night, we can make an early start. But first, you promised to tell me how the Matabele managed to reach the hiding place and return.
Yes. Well, most of them didn't return. Lobengula sent an impi with one of his most trusted indunas southwest into the desert with instructions to find a suitable, almost inaccessible place.
Mm-hmm.
The induna took them as far as he could and found the place that we are now looking for. The treasure was buried in a deep hole. And during the night, 50 men stole the weapons of the others, hid them, and set about killing the rest of the impi. These 50 took what water and food was left from the bodies and began the return journey.
Yeah.
Some miles from Lobengula's kraal, they were ambushed by an impi and killed to a man, except for the induna. He was allowed to tell the king where the treasure was hidden, and then he was clubbed to death.
Leaving Lobengula the only living person with the knowledge.
So it was thought. But one of these 50 men was only badly wounded, and he managed to crawl into the bush. My grandfather and his two pals found him the next day. They tended to his wounds and gave him a job. It was nearly 15 years later, when this man was dying, that he told them how he'd come to be so sorely wounded.
But why didn't they bring it out, huh? Or at least some of it?
Well, grandfather bought out some sovereigns. They were still legal currency then. He bought a passage to England to try and interest his two brothers, and I'm afraid that was when he was struck down by polio.
And his brothers?
Oh, one was dead and the other's gone to Australia.
Well, what happened to his two companions, Linton and Anderson?
They died on the way back. Food and water ran out, and even my grandfather was close to death when he was found by a wandering bushman.
Well, I must admit the story now sounds more plausible. I just find it difficult to accept.
Perhaps by tomorrow you'll be as enthusiastic as I am.
Yep, perhaps.
Oh, we seem to be having a lot of trouble, Alan.
Oh, that's putting it mildly.
Is something wrong?
Yeah, if your grandfather's description is right, I think this is as far as we dare go in the four-wheeler. Let me have a look at that map again.
Right here. Do we have to walk from here?
Yeah, I think so.
Are you sure?
Mm-hmm. There's no choice, I'm afraid.
Well, how far do you think it is?
That's hard to say. Map wasn't drawn to a scale, but roughly, I'd say about 10 kilometers. Over there, you see how the ground slopes upward?
Yes, very gradually.
Now, well, that's where we go. At the top, we should find a sheer drop down to the plain where the pinnacles stand.
The cafe, Anderson's Wall.
Yeah, that's right. In an hour or two, you should be able to see the place.
Oh, come on, let's start walking then.
Well, first let me pack some food and...
What were you going to say?
Look, a plane.
Heavens, what's a plane doing out here?
Yeah, that's what I'd like to know. Well, it could be a government survey. I know whose it is. Charlie Brindle.
Whoever he is, he's taking a good look at us.
And for a good reason. He's curious why we're out here.
Why?
Charlie Brindle owns the plane. And his close pal is Felix Stanley, who considers himself to be my rival. They hire themselves out to companies and tourists who want to take a closer look at the Kalahari. They'll know I'm out here, and they'll be aching to know why.
Oh, does it matter?
Oh, what'll have aroused their curiosity most is why we've traveled overland rather than hire a plane. And naturally, they won't guess the exact truth. But they'll figure out that we're anxious to keep our activities a secret. I'll bet they've been looking for us since yesterday.
To be honest, Alan, I'm beginning to feel sorry we didn't hire a plane. It would have been so much easier. After all, once I've unearthed the cache, it's mine. That's indisputable.
Oh, well, the government will want a whacking great share of it. But there's another factor I didn't want to mention.
What?
You can only have claim to it while you're alive.
Are you suggesting...
I'm suggesting that your life could be in danger. Especially if a rogue like Felix Stanley gets to know why you're here. Think it through, Lena.
But... Oh, yes, I see what you mean.
The prospect of a vast fortune can turn men into greed-crazed savages. You did the right thing in coming overland.
It's a daunting thought. Anyway, they're flown away.
Yeah, but they'll be back. Well, just let me pack a few things and we'll be on our way.
To you and me, KTAT means
sanitizer stuff.
To get better K's, get a better K's.
Sanitizer stuff.
They're the world beaters for kilometers.
Sanitizer stuff.
Not just kilometers, Kelly tires give you kilometers. That's motoring with Kelly know-how, quality, and safety. And if that's not enough,
KTAT. KTAT. Kelly tires are stuff.
As we slowly made our way by foot up the escarpment, it was hard going. We sank deeper than our ankles into the soft sand with every footstep. The climb itself was gradual, but even so, we had to stop several times to regain our breath. And then we came to it, a sheer drop of some 50 meters to a flat sandy plain. Rearing up from the floor were three tall pinnacles, hard rock worn by a thousand centuries of erosion. Gradually, we reached the plain and walked under the lengthening shadows of the tall pinnacles. The sand under our feet was smooth, flat, and soft. Lena Braithwaite stopped at the foot of the center pinnacle and looked up.
You know, that reminds me of those weird stone formations you see on TV of the Nevada Desert.
Oh, I suppose so. Now, where do we dig in?
We don't. Well, not yet.
Yeah, I saw you look up. Don't tell me the cache is hidden at the top of one of these.
Oh, no, nothing so awkward. Look, could you stand with your back to the pinnacle and... let me stand on your shoulders?
What'll that do?
You'll see.
Is this some kind of game?
Well, you could call it that, yes. Thank you, Alan. Now, look, if you'll cup your hands and just help me up.
Right. Oh. Okay, Lena. What now?
Well, there should be a number carved in the rock. I can't see it here.
Huh?
Alan, could you move to the right?
Huh?
Slowly, slowly, step by step, until we... circles round the pinnacle.
Yeah, okay, but use the rock to balance yourself.
Okay. Hey, stop!
Hmm?
Stop, I found it. 133.
What?
Just think, that number was carved by Grandfather all those years ago. Amazing.
Yeah, are you coming down now?
Okay.
Yeah, that's better. You're not featherweight, you know. Now, tell me, what does 133 mean, huh? Is the cache 133 paces from here?
Oh, no, nothing as simple as that. What time do you need it on?
2:12.
Right, then in 48 minutes I can show you.
At 3 o'clock? What's the time got to do with it? At the pinnacle. It acts as a kind of sundial.
Not bad, Alan. You're getting warmer. As a matter of fact, all three pinnacles play a part.
Hey, look. Brindle's plane again.
Even how? It's worried.
No point, they've seen us.
It could be merely, I don't know, doing a service.
Don't kid yourself. Since we saw them last, they've just had time to get refueled at the airstrip and return.
Well, they're flying off again. I think you're being somewhat paranoid.
But with good reason.
Look, they've gone.
Yeah, and a bit abruptly.
How do you mean?
I mean the engine just suddenly stopped after it passed over the cliff.
Crashed, you mean?
No, the cliff can dampen the sound a lot. But they could have landed. Anyway, what were you telling me about the three pinnacles?
Well, look, let me draw it for you in the sand. Mm-hmm. You see, these are the pinnacles. At 3 in the afternoon, their shadows should look something like this, I'd say.
Yeah.
Now, if you draw a line from the top of the shadows of the first and third pinnacles, you get a line looking like this.
Ah, I get it, eh? Leaving out the center pinnacle.
Correct. No, the center pinnacle was only important in as much as it had a number carved 10 feet up from its height.
Mm.
Now, you see this line that I've drawn from the tops of two other pinnacles?
Yeah.
The box is buried precisely 133 feet along the line from the end pinnacle.
Clever.
Yeah, it was clever, Alan. What time is it now?
Watch the pot never boils. There are still 41 minutes.
Charlie. Why all the ruddy secrecy? They certainly have heard us land.
Barker knew that he'd come looking. Let's keep them in ignorance for a while. Hey, why do you think they're just sitting there in the shade?
Waiting for a bus, maybe.
I can do without the humor, Charlie.
All right. So what are they waiting for?
The name Braithwaite mean anything to you, Charlie?
Nah, can't say it does.
Or Anderson and Linton?
Hey, wait, that does ring a bell. A long, long time ago, wasn't it? Three of them went in the desert. Only one came out. Said he'd been brought back to life by a bushman.
Right. As soon as I heard that woman's name, I began to check up. That little lady's Arthur Braithwaite's granddaughter.
Well, so what, Felix? Does it matter?
It matters a lot, Charlie.
Why?
You see, Arthur Braithwaite's trip into the Kalahari made him a wealthy man. He found Logan Cooler's treasure.
He what?
Logan Cooler's treasure.
God,
now, wait a minute before you start telling me it's only a legend. It isn't. Imagine 50 kilos of gold sovereigns, Charlie. Imagine 10 kilos of top-quality diamonds.
No, I can't.
That's what they're looking for. And that little lady thinks she knows where the hoard is.
But she doesn't.
Wait and see, Charlie. This should be rather interesting.
There it is. A long straight marker line.
I'm always there with this old tape measure. I hope Grandfather's measurements were as accurate as mine.
Well, it shouldn't be far out.
Let's hope so. Well, that's 129 feet. Maybe 2 feet and 1 foot more. Alan, right here where I'm kneeling is one of the biggest traces ever known.
Yeah, it's creepy, Lena. But come on, let's start digging then.
I'm just about all in. Only less than a meter deep.
Yeah, something bothers me, Lena.
What?
This ground isn't like that. It's as though it's been disturbed.
Well, yes, my grandfather was passed.
No. Since then. In 80 years, it would have settled. But the ground here has been recently disturbed. Say, within the last 2 or 3 years.
But it can't have been, Alan. Haven't you told me a dozen times how inaccessible this place is? Yeah,
by land, yes. But if someone else had your grandfather's papers, he could have flown in and flown out with the goodies in next to no time.
That's an awful thought, Alan. Come on, let's dig.
Yeah, right. Hey, Lena!
Huh?
This must be it. Look!
Listen, Tuck! You see how well preserved the chest.
Yeah. Get hold of the handle at your end and help me lift it out of the hole.
Okay.
Are you ready?
You're
back. Come on. Well, who opens it? You or me?
Alan. Alan, there's something very much amiss.
It looks all right to me.
My grandfather specifically said that the chest was locked. It isn't. The padlock's missing, and you see how the hasp's been damaged.
Oh, here, let me open it.
Oh, Alan. horrible.
I'm sorry, Lena. If I'd have known. Yes, if only I'd known that all the chest contained was rocks and a fully clothed skeleton. Lena shrank back as though she'd been slapped in the face. She crawled off and lay in the shade of the pinnacle. I raised the lid of the chest again and looked more closely at the skeleton's clothes. They were perfectly preserved in modern style. In the pocket, I found a few currency notes and a sheaf of credit cards in the name of Saki von Staden. I remembered Saki very well. He'd been a pilot who, like Charlie Brindle, made a living by flying. 3 years ago, he had flown out into the Kalahari and was never heard of again. But how, I wondered, did his remains come to get into a chest out here? It seemed impossible. Until I looked up and saw two men approaching me. Charlie Brindle and Felix Stanley. Felix had a gun pointed at me.
I bet that gave you and your lady friend a surprise, eh?
It explains what happened to Saki.
Are these the men in the plane, Alan?
Yeah. And I might have known they'd land to keep a closer watch on us. Especially in view of the chest's contents.
But there was nothing in the box except...
Not just a skeleton, Lena. It was once a body. The body of a man I knew and liked. What happened to him, Felix?
Since you're not going to come out of this alive, Parker, I don't mind telling you. I killed him and put him in the box.
What? You killed Saki von Staden?
Yes, Charlie. Just like I'm going to kill you.
Good
for the same reason. Go and stand over there with him.
Why, you can't do this to me,
I
Felix.
Can't. You should have known better than to say that to me, Charlie.
But I...
Of course I can, just like this.
No, wait. No.
Held herself against me as though I were able to protect her from Felix Stanley's next bullet. For my part, I knew our survival lay in keeping him talking for as long as possible. Luckily, he was a vain man, so I counted on him wanting to boast about what he'd done. Felix, I think you're telling lies. Saki disappeared when he was flying solo. He had no one with him.
He was as keen as I was to get his finger on Lobengula's treasure. I knew where it was located, but I needed Saki to fly the plane. He agreed to let me fly along with him as a secret passenger. He never asked me why, because all he could see was gold and diamonds. We flew off, found this place, loaded the gold and diamonds, then I shot.
But why?
Saki always talked too much in his cups, man. I had no intention of declaring my find and having to give most of it away.
But you couldn't fly the plane?
Yes, of course I could fly it, man. Okay, I didn't have a license to fly, but I could do it. Took off. I found a new hiding place close to town for the horde. Then I ditched the plane in Valkyra's swamp. It sank without a trace. Then I turned up in town after what was thought to be a week's holiday.
How did you know where Lobengula's horde is buried?
That was a stroke of luck. A few months earlier, I stumbled across the remains of a man called Anderson, one of Arthur Braithwaite's partners. And there it all was, a map and full instructions.
Just like mine?
I presume so. I should think that after finding the treasure... Each of these blokes made maps and notes. Not just a survivor of the expedition.
Where's the horde now?
Safely tucked away in the Corolla Caves. I was just ready to start shifting it overseas when I heard you'd been engaged by a Miss Braithwaite to go on a secret expedition. Well, I only had to put two and two together. She was probably after the treasure. I thought you might find Sucky's body, so I decided to keep a close watch on you. Just as well, eh?
And you used Charlie like you did Saki.
That's right. If you hadn't unearthed Saki's remains, we would have gone straight back as though nothing had happened. Now, I'm afraid yet another pilot will be listed as missing. And a guide and his client. I'll say I found your four-wheeler abandoned and brought it back.
There'll be a search, of course, but they'll never find your bodies. This time, I'll be more careful with disposing of bodies.
What about the plane, Felix?
Leave it here, man. No one knows I was flying with Charlie. Believe me, Parker, I've got it all worked out.
I saw him raise the gun and smile. The time was now. I roughly shoved Lena down by his feet. I grabbed the handle of my spade. I swung it round. Pick up his gun, Lena.
Are you all right, Adam?
Scored him. His bullet sliced through my ear.
You were lucky. Nothing we can do for the pilot. He's dead.
And Felix is developing a lump the size of an egg on his bald head. We can leave that for the prison doctor to fix. We took Felix Stanley back to town and handed him over. Although he refused to confess, the police aircraft went out into the desert and brought back more than enough evidence to convict him for two murders. Lena stayed for 2 weeks before journeying back to England. She'd rather hoped that Felix would tell her where in the Corolla Caves the hoard had been hidden. And, of course, we searched for it ourselves. Perhaps one day a prisoner languishing in jail will relent and tell me of the new hiding place for Lobengula's treasure. But until then, we can only wait.
High Adventure is produced by Henry Diffenthal.